they're necessary endings. And so if you want to turn to the scriptures that we're going to talk about in a bit, you can do that. We're going to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. This is one that you've memorized. You know this by heart. You've read it hundreds of times. But we're going to talk about the implications of this passage as we work through this morning. Let me set it up this way. For you and I, for humanity, whether we like it or not, there are things in our lives that need to end. It's a part of life. So from the very beginning of time that we know it, there's always been seasons, there's always been stages, there's always been phases of life that we go through, and endings are a part of that. So some simple examples. This morning will give way to this evening at some point. We're thankful that spring gave way and we actually had summer yesterday. We might even have it today. We know that when we come to December 31st, it will give way to January 1st, and 2019 will end and we'll enter into a new year. Infants over in our nursery will turn into preschoolers. Might be one or two represented here today. Preschoolers turn into grade schoolers. Grade schoolers turn into high schoolers. High schoolers graduate and they go off into life. Singles, most singles, end that time of their life and they get married. So everything in life has this beginning and it has endings. And what we all need to keep in mind in the context of this message is this. We will never get to the next levels that God wants us to reach if we don't embrace the necessary endings that He wants us to embrace. When things don't end, you and I become stuck. We get into a rut. We remain in a season that is not good for us. God wants us to end it to move on. You think of companies that become churches, solete because they enter into what's called status quo. Churches can become irrelevant. Families become disorientated and can disintegrate. It's all because we refuse to move from one stage of life to another. We'll look at some examples in a bit. But to understand this, God cannot begin, or good cannot begin unless the bad ends. So if there's something in your life that is not suited for you, it's not going well, you need to come to that necessary ending so that you can embrace the good that God wants to bring. But you have to make the choice. New cannot come until the old goes. So if you want a new season in your life, you have to embrace the ending of the old. If you're like me, and I'm assuming you are to some degree, it's amazing what we want to cling on to. It's amazing how we want to fight what is actually necessary for us to move into. We can grow awkwardly comfortable with things in our lives, even though they're not healthy for us, even though they might be harmful for us. We want to hang on to them. We maybe do that because we're afraid of the unknown and we want to keep on clinging on to what's old. We may be fearful of confrontation in a toxic relationship, so we tolerate the relationship because we don't want to have the confrontation. Maybe letting go is just too hard for you because you've had too many endings in your past that haven't gone well, so you just remain. You just stay in the land of familiar. And so we come to this passage this morning in Ecclesiastes where Solomon is giving us some wisdom. It's very practical wisdom. It's very common sense wisdom. You've read it, like I've said, many times. But we're going to read it again this morning anyways. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through verse 8. So Solomon says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. There's a time to kill and there's a time to heal. There's a time to tear down and there's a time to build. There's a time to weep and there's a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to give, a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. I wish we would learn that one more. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Now, I think what's key for us this morning is Solomon says, everything has a season, a time, and a purpose. But the implications within that, those seasons, those times, those purposes, have an ending. And we need to be okay with that. Some of you here actually embrace change. You embrace endings very, very well because that's how you're wired. You love things when they change. You know, you think of that engaged couple. The ring goes on the finger and says, we're going to get married. They can't wait for the wedding day because they can't wait to see the engagement end and marriage start and live happily ever after, right? That's what Shrek or somebody would tell us. The new employee can't wait for that final day on the job because the promotion finally came through and they get to advance in the company. An expectant mother, I think there's one here today. I bet you this expectant mother, when she hits her ninth month, can't wait for that month to end and to see that precious gift from God come into this world. But that expected mom has to embrace the ending of the ninth month. Can't stay in pregnancy forever. So I've said already, there's some seasons we don't want to go through. We don't want to face the endings for whatever reason. We don't want to move down that road, so we stay in this land of familiar. You know, I think of even in my own life, and I must confess this is true for me, and it's true for my wife, I'm sure, that there's a season called empty nesters. I did not like that season because I did not want our family unit as we were, I did not want that to end. And I would have done everything possible to keep it that way, except I knew it needed to end because Brent needed to move out and move on with his life, which he has done. But I didn't like that necessary ending, but had to embrace it somewhat, I guess, against my will. So we can come with a sigh, and I could walk down to my son's bedroom that's now empty and sigh and saying, why does this have to end? I've done that. We can say that as a body of believers. We'll pick on River Valley Community Church this morning since we're here. We could say, why does the church have to change? Why does that have to change? I like when we do it that way. Why do we have to do it this way now? And so it's hard to embrace an ending of one set of functions to embrace another. there are some seasons that we go through, we don't even understand why. I can tell you from years past, I've gone through endings, and I'm still waiting for the Lord to tell me what was the purpose of that. I have no idea to this point. I just pray I learned the lesson through it. Because not all of them were fun. Not all of them were easy. But they were necessary for Randy to grow and to develop and hopefully become mature. And so you go through them. History gives us some really hard lessons of people and organizations who choose not to embrace necessary endings. So let me ask you this. Where's Blockbuster? Some of you here might say, who's Blockbuster? Where's Sears? Do you know where, do you remember a computer company called Compaq? I had to scratch my head to remember that one, and I'm old. But where are they? Where's Kodak? Where's Polaroid? Where's Radio Shack? Where are they? They're organizations that do no longer exist because they chose to stay in status quo or to live in the land of the familiar. They refuse to embrace the changes that they need to embrace to stay pace with culture. And so their ending was their own demise. When if some of them might have made some shifts in the way they did things, they might have existed today. I guess you would say they became irrelevant. Don't have my phone, but we don't need Kodak and Polaroid anymore, do we? Because we all carry a phone or a camera with us. In 2015, European denominations began to struggle. They had these derelict cathedrals and chapels and monasteries. They were very expensive houses of worship, and they really struggled to keep them filled. I read an article on Friday or Saturday. Back in 2015, so we'll give credit to the time frame, the Church of England closed around 20 churches in 2015. Denmark closed around 200. Germany closed approximately 515 Catholic churches. And you got to ask why. What was the reason all these churches had to close? Because they embraced status quo. And because the spiritual temperature in people's lives began to drift and cool. Now, there's a glimmer of hope in 2019 in Europe. There seems to be a bit of revival sparking across Europe. You'll hear things in Europe are changing spiritually because God is on the move and people are embracing the endings they need to embrace what God wants to do in Europe. May that be so in our country as well. Next passage of Scripture, let's turn to Genesis. Genesis chapter 12 in the first four verses. Genesis 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to a land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. So at 75 years old, Abram knew he needed to end his time where he was. and move beyond. It's a fascinating story. We just saw it in cartoonish form with some, sorry, but Linda and I did have a good laugh on Friday at some of them. I loved the portrayal of Sarah getting pregnant. I mean, like that. So there's a pregnant lady here is hoping that, man, if I could just go from month 1 to 9 and then be perfect, but it doesn't work that way. But God chose Abraham and Sarah to become a long-term project of blessing that would flow out from them. Even at this point, they are barren. They cannot have children. They cannot have the family. They cannot drive the van with all the little figures in the back window, right? Do you know what a bear says when he sees you put all these figures in the back of your van? You know what a bear says? Oh, look, a menu. I won't charge you for that one. This is a painful reality for Abraham and Sarah. It really is. Sarah is distraught. She cannot have children. Her mother's heart tugs hard on her. And she longs to have a family, but she's barren. I think this is the same powerful word that was spoken back in the creative week, and it's being repeated now. Isn't God cool? Of how what didn't happen in the garden, he's now coming to Abraham and Sarah and saying, through your seed, I will bless the earth. There are powerful promises in this account of Sarah and her husband Abram. But Abraham and Sarah had to say yes. They had to say yes to a necessary ending. They had to say yes in leaving a land that was very familiar to them, to a people, to a culture, to a community. They had to leave and go beyond. They had to leave Abraham's father's house, the extended family, and they had to go to a place where they had no idea where they were going. Their feet had never touched the soil of where they were going. And yet, amazingly, Abraham and Sarah said yes, and they ended their time in Canaan, and they moved on. Or ended their time, and they moved on, sorry. I think what I want us to hear this morning is that Abraham and Sarah did not receive status quo in their life. I think that's a really important lesson for us, because status quo can become so easy to embrace. It can catch us so subtly at the beginning, and then it gets a hold of us, and then we find 10, 20, 30 years later, we've never changed. We've never done what God has asked us to do. And so God promises, Abraham obeys. If you catch anything out of this message today, are those two important phrases. You and I need to hear God's promises, and then we need to obey him. Whether it makes sense or not, if you've clearly heard from the Lord, there are necessary endings in your life, in someone's life here today that needs to end. You need to be obedient. And if you're not, that's called disobedience to the Lord. Because he has something for you. If you're struggling with that, there's a life lesson in Abram's story that I think is really important for us to get. And that is this. Your blessing may be on the other side of saying yes to an ending. You will reject your blessing if you don't say yes to God. What would have happened to Abram and Sarah if they would have said no and stayed where they were? Think of it. John 16, 7. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. It is good. It is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So you think of the implications in that verse. If Jesus would not have embraced crucifixion, if he would not have put his trust in his Father for the resurrection, you and I would still be wrestling in our sin. We would be in a hopeless state. We never would have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Is that a big deal for us? If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you know what that's all about. You know the blessings that come with the filling of the Holy Spirit. If Jesus wouldn't have said yes and gone, you wouldn't have that. Matthew 26, 53. Jesus is about to be arrested. Peter's drawn out his sword and he's swinging. Because Peter's doing what Peter does, right? Then we come to Matthew 26, verse 53. Jesus says, do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way? Jesus was being obedient to an ending. He was trusting his Father that this was all going to work out. I find this so interesting. Do you know how many angels are in 12 legions? So Jesus is using a Roman military term here. So if you go by those days of a Roman military army, there are 6,000 soldiers in a legion. So now let's compare it to what Jesus is talking about. 12 legions and more. That's 72,000 plus angels that were at Jesus Christ's disposal. He could have called on them anytime he wanted, and they would have come, and they would have destroyed all those who were trying to take over Jesus' life. Isaiah 37, 36 records that a single angel, one angel, not 72,000 angels, one angel, obliterated 185,000 men in one night. There's a little bit of power that flows out of heaven. Now put 72,000 angels into that equation. And I think it comes out to this. Hope there's no mathematicians here. I could be wrong. I did graduate. 1,110,000,000 men would be destroyed in one night with 72,000 angels. I think that takes care of Earth. Jesus didn't do that. Do you know why he didn't do that? Because he thought of you. He knew he needed to come to a necessary ending for you. And you've probably heard it said 100 times, but if it had been only you, he would have done it. As hard as and goofy as it is for me to hear it on my own ears, if it would have been just Randy's sin, he had to go through all of that, he would have gone through it. He rejected all that protection for me and for you. He faced an ending so that you and I could be reconciled to God, so that we could be forgiven of our past sins, our present sins, and our future sins. The account is clean. We never would have understood the word righteousness if it wouldn't have been for him saying yes. So his death was necessary. And so he went, and he faced the torturous beatings, and he faced the cruel nails and the thorn on his head, and hung on a cross in humility for us. We're going to remember that today as Pastor Ken leads us. But that was the necessary ending that Jesus went through. You know, God may have said this to Abraham and Sarah, but he says it today, to us today. You have no idea what I have planned for you. You have no idea what I've prepared for you. Stop trying to plan everything out on your own. Trust me. Face what you need to face. End what you need to end. I am with you. Isaiah 60:22 says this, at the right time, I, the Lord, will make it happen. So whatever that's coming in your life, he will make it happen if we will just be obedient to him. There are times God brings these necessary endings, and they take us way out of our comfort zones. Man, I've been so far out of comfort zones with God. And when I've been obedient, they always play out for my benefit and for his glory. Some of them are way beyond my strength. And when I'm weak, he is strong. I invite the worship team to come and then get ready to lead us in worship, and then Pastor Ken will lead us in communion. What's God saying to you this morning? What's he saying to us this morning? What are we fighting against? What change do we need to bring into our lives so that we can really, truly move forward? But we don't want to go there. Do you know what I've learned in my life? When I'm afraid to embrace what God is asking me to embrace, I'm being disobedient. There's something that it's saying that, God, I don't trust you. I don't trust what you're asking me to do here because I don't trust how it's all going to play out, so I'm going to stay over here. And that's simply disobedience. And then God has to discipline me and bring me back over here and say, come on, Randy, let's move. Because I want to provide for you. So I don't know where you're at this morning, but I sense that there are some here today are not embracing some things that you need to embrace. God is calling you to something that you're rejecting. And all we can do is ask you to, can you reconsider that? Think of Abraham and Sarah. If God can bring about descendants that are more than the dust in the ground or more than the stars in the sky, can God be trusted? Even though Sarah is old, Abraham is old. So can you trust God with your necessary endings? That's the question you have to leave here with today. So we're going to worship. We're going to do communion. And then I believe Pastor Ken will open it up. And if you have something that you want prayer for, you come. And we'll pray for you and we'll see what God wants to do through your life.